Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. There's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Stephen Shapiro is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is an expert on creativity and innovation. And he helps companies like yours and mine make sure that we put our best foot forward in the marketplace in an innovative and creative way. He's the author of Goal Free Living, How to Have the Life You Want, and he's our friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And I know one of the things you've been working on recently is taking a little bit of the mechanical thinking out of work process and putting a little more of the flow and the movement and the creativity into that. Is that a correct way to say that?
I would say that's probably pretty accurate.
So tell the audience what we mean by that.
Well, I fortunately last night being in Boston was a really good night for a couple of our teams. And when I watch a team like the Celtics, who won at the buzzer last night in basketball, you have your playbook. But it is so dynamic. You can't predict what's going to happen. You can't predict what the competition is going to do. You can't predict what the marketplace is going to do. You can't predict pretty much anything in the real world. And I think that's sort of the fallacy of a lot of businesses is they do so much planning and so much procedural definitions and so many processes that they think they've predicted what's going to happen when, in fact, you have no idea what's going to happen until you're actually on the basketball court, until you're on the playing field. And what I've been looking at is how do you get teams of people to play together by understanding what each of the individual strengths are, but then understanding how they play off of each other and the team dynamics and how you create a high-performance organization using that.
You know, I like your sports analogy there because, you know, I love it when a team loses and they talk to the losing team and or the losing player, depending on the sport. And somebody says something about why did you lose, and the other person says, "Well, we didn't execute. You know, we made too many mistakes. Blah blah blah." You know, but then every once in a while, if there's a really honest one, we'll say, "Well, you know, there was that other team out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, those other people had a little bit to say about this,
and they did things that we didn't expect.
Yeah.
And guess what? In your business, the marketplace is going to do things to you that you just don't expect. So it's not about how fantastic you are. It really is about how nimble and adaptable and flexible you are. And that's really my definition of innovation, is your ability to repeatedly and rapidly evolve yourself to change instantaneously to market conditions as they feed you new challenges.
There's another thing another sports analogy, but if you've ever seen, I don't know of course you probably haven't seen this in a long time, but when I was a kid, when I was in high school, occasionally our basketball team would play a team that wasn't very well trained. They were good athletes, but they didn't have a lot of good organization, didn't know a lot of plays and things like that. Guess who won the game? The highly organized, well-trained team are the one that could just shoot and were good athletes. The second, the one who could shoot was and were good athletes. They won because when you watched that Celtics game, you watched the defense kind of knew in general what the offense was going to do, and they sort of move in a flow, don't they? They move in a in almost in concert. Well, you throw that out. You throw one side out into a totally unknown kind of a way of playing, and it throws the organized team, you know, throws them off. And that's what I think that's what's happening a lot in the marketplace today, Steve, is we got all this new stuff that's interrupting the old flow of the way we used to do business. And I think that's something that's messing us up. And I think what you're talking about is going to help us embrace the new stuff. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty accurate assessment of how teams need to play business teams and also what's happening in the marketplace. And you need to be good at what you do, and I think the problem is, and this isn't a new concept, but the problem is we have people, like, I don't want to perpetuate too many sports analogies, but they're really...
Only one more.
Well, it's just building on the basketball thing, which is that if you take basketball, what's great is you have a forward, you have a guard, and you have the center, and they play their roles, but they're on defense one moment, they're on offense the next moment, and they're always mixing it up. It's not like they say, well, I'm going to stand in this one spot and never move. But they still also understand what their strength is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Steve, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Steve Shapiro is our guest. He's the author of Goal Free Living. He and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Stand your ground. Don't let your bad breaks go get on you down.
We're back at 17 till. That's Atlanta Rhythm Section with our anthem.
And you had enough.
That's us, isn't it, small business owners? We do it no matter what the people say. We do it or die. We keep going. That's what you do, small business owners, and that's the reason why you're my heroes. And I bet Steve Shapiro agrees with me on that. Steve is the author of Goal Free Living. And, Steve, we're talking about how to – by the way, give us your website, please.
www.steveshapiro.com.
What will we find when we get there?
A lot of resources just on innovation. I have probably about 400 articles on the topic of innovation and creativity and high-performing teams.
So check that out, folks, steveshapiro.com. Steve, let's talk about the this thing we were talking about earlier. No more sports metaphors, ladies. We're all through with that now. We might throw in a less masculine metaphor in a minute, Steve. But anyway, talk to us about this, about how to move more innovatively and less mechanically.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on here. One of the things which happened was when I looked at the innovation process, which is four very simple steps, which is basically to define the problem, which, by the way, I think is the most overlooked step in the innovation process. It's to figure out
why is that?
Well, because I think, first of all, when people think of innovation, they think of new ideas. And to me, there is no shortage of new ideas inside of business.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is there's a shortage of good and relevant ideas that get implemented to create value. And so what happens, though, is we think of innovation and creativity as being synonymous, and it's not, because creativity is only one step of the innovation process, and it's that entire process that really is so important. So that first step to me is just fundamentally critical, because if you're solving the wrong problem, if you're solving the wrong challenge,
or what if you've come up with a solution that doesn't have a problem? You got no customers.
You have no customers unless you create them, but those are, I mean, everybody likes to use the Sony Walkman example. That's great,
right.
But those are far and few between in terms of successes.
Right.
Business fundamentals, the thing that I always believe when it comes to like our economic times right now is that it's tough. However, it is forcing many companies to get back to being a smart business and operating the way they should have operated anyway.
Right. All right. So find the problem. Identify the problem.
The second one is to find solutions. That's where the creativity comes in. We know what the problem is. Let's come up with new solutions to it. The third step, then, is to basically plan the work and work the plan. We need to make sure that we take these ideas, synthesize them down, get them organized, and understand all the interdependencies. And then the last step...
And execute.
And to execute it, exactly. And then the last step is to engage the hearts and minds of the organization. Because what ends up happening is we forget that businesses are run by people, our customers are people, and all of our innovations are about the people. And if we don't engage the people, we don't get anywhere.
It seems to me, though, that maybe without saying it, in order to accomplish the first three steps, you will have already engaged the people.
Hopefully,
haven't
you?
I mean, isn't the fourth step really kind of woven all in there? Because one of the ways you find out what the problem is you talk to customers.
Absolutely.
One of the ways you get things to execute is you get your employees to buy into it.
Absolutely. That is totally true. And each of these steps weave themselves into each of the other steps. So even though there's only four steps, it is much more of an iterative process. And people are always at the center of what we do.
Well, and I guess the thing that we're saying exactly is that it's not 1, 2, 3, 4 chronologically. It's just four steps that happen sometimes somewhat simultaneously.
Exactly. Totally true. And what I find is, though, that at each step of the process, whether you think of it as a linear process, an iterative process, or a simultaneous process, certain people contribute in certain ways. They're very analytical people, the people who love the spreadsheets and the data. I mean, I always say that if you're a person who loves Microsoft Excel, you probably are the people who are great at understanding the numbers and crunching the numbers and being able to create relevant concepts. Whereas you have the more creative people who tend to like to challenge the rules and think differently. And then you have very methodical people, and then you have very relationship-oriented people. And what I find is, because we need people who are good in each of those, if I look at an organization, let me give you a very, very simple example. Recently I was working with a marketing company. They do branding and marketing for their clients. And when we went through this process, we found that 80% of the people fell into the creative category.
Really?
50, but that's not surprising. When I work with engineering companies, about 75% of the people typically fall into the more analytical-oriented part of the company.
Well, that's no surprise.
No surprise. So we had 80% of the people falling into the creative category, 15% falling into the relationship, more emotional feeling connection category, and we only had 5% of the people falling into the planning category and nobody in the analytical category, and they couldn't figure out why the company wasn't growing. And this is what we do, though, when we hire, it is our natural tendency to hire based on competency and chemistry, which says we want people who think like us. And we want people who are skilled in the things we think are important, yet we need all of these skills in order for a company to adapt, grow, and evolve over time.
You know, I had Howard Behar, who was former president of Starbucks, on the show on Friday, and he said something that I love. He said, make sure that you let the person who sweeps the floor choose the broom. And when we come back, I want you to talk to us about how that kind of working with our people in that way, how that works into your plan. We'll take a quick break, folks. Steve Shapiro is our guest. His book is called Goal Free Living. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Our window today could have tripped out DC, but I changed my way. It'll take time, I know it.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. Thank you very much for doing it. And when you get there, be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog. Check out our knowledge base. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something that will help you in your small business, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jim Blasingame on Twitter. Steve Shapiro is our guest. Steve, are you on Twitter?
And it's Stephen Shapiro with a PH.
Stephen with a PH. Shapiro, at Stephen Shapiro. So check that out. And, Stephen, I was talking about, I used Howard Behar's example of let the person who sweeps the floor choose the broom. When you're doing your innovation, your creative approaches to teamwork, how big a deal is that in what you're doing?
Well, I think it's huge because I do believe in the democratization of innovation within companies. It's not a top-down thing. And people who are closest to the issues, closest to the challenges, closest to the customers, are the ones who should be coming up with the ideas, not the people locked in a room.
I know that you worked with Formula One team one time?
I did. We weren't going to talk about sports, but I guess we can't afford it.
No. This isn't. This is not. These are not metaphors, ladies. This is a real thing. No, but I'm just thinking. You know, when you see the guys, and I don't know about Formula One, but when you see NASCAR, they have their when they change the tires, they have their lug nuts on a piece of wire on their belt.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to and they pull that off. You know, the lug nuts off that wire. Well, you wouldn't want the owner of the company telling the guy who's putting the tire on, you know, how that wire should feel, right? You'd want that person to choose.
Absolutely, and the way they get these pit crews to work so efficiently is they do move people around because people have a natural rhythm, and they figure out what is the best position, the best spot for that person to perform at optimal level, and then they make all the decisions at that point.
Mm-hmm. And so in your own organization, you know, if you're buying a truck, talk to the truck drivers. Ask them what kind of trucks work the best, right?
And a better option in many cases is what can you do to have employee-owned trucks so that they now have a stake in the game and that they are ones responsible. The more you put the responsibility back on the employee, the more they're going to feel like an owner of the business.
Exactly. And if you're asking them to move in a certain way, you know, you've got to make sure that you understand how they're moving. I mean, I know that you talk about that, the movement around an office, around a pit crew, whatever it might be. You've got to get their input in this, don't you?
Absolutely. And the great thing with technology these days is that it opens up the opportunity in terms of getting ideas. We can get ideas from anyone, anywhere, whether it be the frontline employee by using these various forms of social media, but we can also get input from the customers who are, at the end of the day, probably the most important people for us to get our input from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned Starbucks. I love their My Starbucks idea, where they now open it up to the world and ask everybody, what do you think? What do you want? What would make you happy?
Mm-hmm. And that takes courage, doesn't it?
It does, because
sometimes they tell us things we don't want to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot, and that's one of the things that really a lot of small business owners are not comfortable with, and we're not comfortable with even asking a customer directly, "How are we doing? Did we do this well?" I mean, a lot of businesses don't want to even call after something's delivered. They're afraid to call the customer to make sure everything's okay because they're afraid they're going to get a bunch of to-dos, aren't they?
Absolutely. But you can't stick your head in the sand. I mean, right now, I mean, there's so many examples out there of companies, for example, where their reputations have been destroyed instantly through social media, either through a video posted on YouTube or a blog entry. I mean, you just have to have your eyes and ears open to everything everywhere.
Well, that's exactly right. That's one of the things that you know, we've been talking about on the show about with regard to social media, is your company may not be involved in social media, but your brand is associated with social media, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because if you're out there, people are using your stuff, people are finding you, and they're commenting on it, and that's just going to become greater than it is now, isn't it?
Absolutely. People create special websites. Your company stinks, or they create a video about.
What do you think about that? That's in a way, that's kind of unfair, though, isn't it?
It's unfair. I think the key, whether it's fair or not, I think the challenge is for the organization to respond in a smart way. And usually, the best way to do that is instead of putting the other people on the defensive, say, "Hey, you know, this is valuable input.
Yeah,
how can we learn from this?"
And also, just to do such a good job with everybody else that these people look like weirdos, right?
Hey, do that, even better.
Stephen Shapiro, Stephen with a PH, Shapiro.com. Thanks, Stephen, for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, Jim.
We'll see you next time, Stephen Shapiro, folks. He'll be back. I will be too. After the news, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.